Recorded March 24th, 2011. Well, I'm glad to have you back on the podcast, Jessica.
Yeah, I'm glad you discovered all those awesome loops.
Yeah. Very dangerous to find the Apple Loops library.
You have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, GarageBand. I mean, it's quite a blast. And now they have it for the iPad, so that's cool. What do you think of the beatboxing loops?
I really like them. I think it's fun. I mean, I know they're kind of fake and silly, but I think that's how we use them.
Do you think they're better than when I try to beatbox?
Yes. Would you like to?
No.
Give him a little sample.
I'm not. I don't think so.
It sounds like he has a horrible cold, and he's spitting up and sneezing and coughing all at once into his hands.
But I think that's what a lot of beatboxing sounds like. So. Well, we got a few clips this episode. So the first clip we have coming up is sort of funny. The one of the biggest companies in Europe is called Deutsche Telekom. Can you notice how this is different?
Clip from This Week in Tech, 293, March 2011.
Twit. Wow. Kevin Rose.
Wait, I just real quick, Leo. my colleagues at the Times, Andrew Ross Sorkin from Dealbook, he just posted a story that I just saw about the AT&T deal, and they were saying that the Dutch Telecom, which owns T-Mobile, is so worried that the deal won't be approved.
No, of course.
There's this story I just saw about AT&T and T-Mobile. Well, of course, the best part is that Kevin Rose calls this, he calls Deutsche Telekom Dutch Telekom, and no one even corrects him. I don't know how you could be that confused about a company that big.
Clipped from Rebooting the News, 87, March 2011.
They're lying. A lot of the things they're saying are wrong. And they're not stupid, and they must know they're wrong. Just like the Twitter guys say these things, and they know they're wrong, too. They know they don't have an answer. They're bluffing. I mean, that's what if I could, you know, if one of these guys were sitting here, and he starts telling me the party line about their business model at Twitter.
I shudder to think what you would do. Yeah.
One word, you're bluffing. Two words. Two words. You're bluffing. It's a bluff. You don't have an idea, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, I was finally willing to say that. I felt that way for quite a while, all right? That it was a bluff, but I didn't know for sure.
You know, there's another pre-recorded bit. I forgot about these.
Oh, by the way, the company that Dave Weiner is accusing of lying at the very beginning when he's saying they're lying is the New York Times, as I recall, from listening to the podcast.
Yeah, I really am making a mess out of this new format. I'm just trying out a new format with clips, and I didn't... I told Jessica what was going on, but then I forgot that I had recorded that bit in between the last two clips. I don't know, and I think we were gonna say better stuff than what came up there. But anyway, I think that's a great line from Dave Weiner. One word: you're bluffing.
Yeah, I mean, he at least corrected himself and realized it sooner than Kevin Rose did, for sure. But that should be a fun little thing to be a meme on the internet. One word, and then say as many as you want after it.
I think so, exactly.
I'm glad that I...
Magic. Yeah. Well, you're against what's not true? Sure.
They had the Olympics there, and I feel like not all the countries on the earth could have traveled there in a really magical way. You have to have the Olympics by the Olympic bylaws. You have to have them in a non-magical way. Otherwise, who knows
So we think these are made up Olympic bylaws.
Why would someone want to say that Australia is not a magical land? That just sounds like such a buzzkill kind of thing to say. But anyway, what is this person citing a specific bylaw? I sort of doubt it. Well, then you hear other type of stereotypes about Australia, of course.
Stepped over the point.
What else do you guys know about? The boomerangs. No, not one of my favorite
trips. Did you hear somebody say Paul Hogan?
Yeah. It's barely audible, but it's there. Along with boomerangs, of course. Prisoners, of course. They tried on all the typical stereotypes. I started recording after they mentioned kangaroos. All the other awesome stuff there, like the parrots and cool animals.
Well, other banter aside, then Jessica comes in and saves it.
I'm an Aussie. Half Aussie.
There we go. Wow.
Okay,
good.
I'm from Australia. Really?
The accent gets people every time. Didgeridoo! Yeah, I'm quite proud of my Australian heritage, and I like to dispel myths. You know, Foster's comes up a lot, boomerangs.
It's a terrible beer. Foster's is just a terrible beer. And you've told me it's not popular in Australia.
It's really not. VB, Victoria Bitter, is quite popular. And wine is actually really popular because they've got a huge wine economy there.
Yeah, big growing regions in the east and the west.
Yeah. But it is a magical place. And if you ever get the chance to visit, you should go.
I think a lot of people out there feel that way for sure. Now we have a clip about sports.
Clipped from ESPNU College Football Podcast, March 23rd, 2011.
It came about then when my two coaches went to the NFL, and one thing I think we've always done here is we've done it the right way. We've presented ourselves in a way that, you know, our fans can be proud of. We have really good.
Yeah, that's Wisconsin coach Brett Bielema saying that they've won and they've done it in the right way. Now, I really don't know what he's talking about. They lost to Michigan State last year, but when they were playing much weaker teams, they won. And not only did they win, they ran up the score in an attempt to get higher votes in the BCS, even though they had lost head-to-head to Michigan State. So, Indiana, what was the score? 83-20. Wisconsin, like, beating Indiana 83-20. Is that what he's talking about when they've always, when he said, with his comments? So, now, here he's talking about the bowl loss to TCU that proved Wisconsin wasn't nearly as good as they presented themselves by beating up on weak opponents.
Ask you about the last couple of months with an idea that I've seen so many coaches use a bowl loss as some sort of motivational tool to get through the drudgery of winter conditioning. Did you, how has the, it was such a heartbreaking loss to TCU. How has that resonated within the locker room?
Well, two things. I think, you know, immediately after, I saw a lot of disappointment, not just in the locker room after the game, but, you know, when our players first came back, they still talked about it. I knew it was a game that could have been in their hands, but the powers that be and the way we played, and obviously give credit to TCU, who ended up being the number two team in the country.
That's not on, you know, Wisconsin's like side.
Is that what he's talking about?
I mean, called Texas Christian.
What is he talking about here? Brett Bielema blaming the powers that be for Wisconsin losing to TCU in the Rose Bowl. I think it was just clear proof that the TCU was a much better team.
Maybe he should have paid the refs more to throw it their way.
Do you think the refs were bribed in that game?
I don't know. What other powers that he could that could really affect the game?
Oh, is he being dark and conspirational? Yeah, it seemed kind of a strange phrase. We also have we have a lot of basketball going on now too. But I mean, I think also moving on from sports, we got an interesting clip coming up. This clip has to do with a country that we don't really discuss often on the podcast. A country called Canada.
It's a beautiful place, and it really gets a lot of disrespect from the U.S.,
including from the Linux Outlaws in this clip.
Clipped from Linux Outlaws 195, March 2011.
Lewis. Yeah, competition. I mean, I know lots of people would be interested in this. Last week, Calvin Winter from, where are we now? Was it? Yeah, Calvin Winter from Canada. I actually put in the show notes, oh, Canada, blah, 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 because I don't know the rest. Because nobody knows more than, oh, unless you're Canadian.
Isn't it just, oh, Canada? La, la, la,
no,
la,
there's
la.
Other words. Isn't it like oh. Sea to shining sea or something at some point?
You like to play hockey.
I don't know. What's that about? Anyway, so yeah, first one went to Canada. So if another Canadian wins today, it'll be some really pissed off people in other parts of the world. We've got 898.
It's hard to tell if they're being facetious or not.
I think that it's very interesting. Either there's two equally plausible explanations that people from around the world have similar interactions with Canadians that Americans do and come up with similar, I don't know, stereotypes and images, or American popular culture, often which is often filled with Canadians, projects the Canada stereotypes worldwide, and people in other countries pick up the image of Canada and laugh that derisive laugh.
Yeah, I think when people find out that actors are Canadian, they get that one. They get quite horrified.
Was recorded outside of a Trash Can Sinatra's concert at the Winchester in Lakewood, Ohio,
March 18, 2011. That guy. I'm 44. They never had it. Whatever. They have no idea about good music. And there's some sycophant that never did.
Yeah, and I think by the time you reach 44, you start to say things like, I'm 44.
Do they? I wouldn't know, and neither would you. But I think you do hear that. What is that about people saying, I'm 40 years old? I'm 40 years old! Like, you know, you hear that yelled out a lot. It's like, all right, well, hey, you know, that's 4/10 of a century that you've been doing your thing, dog.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's them trying to say, look, I know good music. I've been around a while.
Yeah, I mean, I think they would have listened to a lot of crap if they were 44 right now. A lot of the glam metal, Hairspray, rock, 80s, you know, crap, and then all that keyboard crap coming out of, you know, England. Like, I mean, there were some good bands too, of course, but a lot of 80s stuff was junk, and
so I don't think I agree.
Yeah, here's another recording. I stepped on my own voice this time. I'd avoided that up to now. So you have a party and then you tell them about Mary Kay.
Get them drunk and then sell them makeup.
No. I don't ever feel like this
And very emphatic that she does not want to push it. That's why you might hear at a Caribou Coffee in Lakewood, Ohio.
Strategies for Mary Kay.
Power meetings.
So watch out the next time you go to a Mary Kay meeting.
Or a Caribou.
That's true. It's not just coffee anymore.
No, it's coffee and business power meetings with laptops, people out there rocking that Dell logo.
Yeah, people really do take over coffee shops these days, especially that Caribou. It's got a fireplace and some nice seats, so I can see why they do that.
Yeah, is there something about the design of Caribous that makes people relax and just kind of talk loud?
Yeah, it's got that cabin feel. Even though they are really trying to get away from that, I do like it. It's got a warmer atmosphere, and I think just the furniture and the warm wood tones make it very relaxing.
Yeah, why are they trying to get away from that?
I think they're just trying to change their image.
You know, everybody's just trying to become like another Starbucks?
Pretty much.
DJMblog.com.
Shake it.
Oh, thanks, Jessica.
You're welcome, babe. Hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks for listening to Jessica and me, Daniel J. McKeown, on the DJMblog.com podcast. Check out show notes, DJMblog.com/podcast-7.
And you can hear all the clips as well.
Yeah, and check out Jessica's blog. She writes really cool posts sometimes about yoga. Jessica.sf3am.com.